It's a great joy to be with us. Thank you. It's a great joy to be back amongst the saints here in the Arnott Gospel Hall, Kennaway. We do look to God to bless our time together around His precious word. We're reading this afternoon in the Gospel of Mark and in chapter 4. And we're going to break into the reading at verse 35. Mark chapter 4 and verse 35. And the same day when the even was come, he saith unto them, Let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship, and there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? And they came over unto the other side of the sea. Now we know that God will add his blessing to the public reading of his word this afternoon and our consideration of the same. What is upon my heart this afternoon is to look with you very simply at these verses that are left on the page of Holy Scripture. They've been left there for our learning, that we might learn valuable lessons as we seek to live for God in 2006. It's often been quoted that this particular narrative, where the Lord Jesus Christ commands his own to get into the ship and go to the other side, is referred to as the calm before the storm, or the storm after the calm. You can look at it either way. But when I was reading this again just this past week, many lessons came to me again. It's not the first time that I've looked at these verses, and it certainly will not be the last. But I want to look with you at the person of the Lord Jesus Christ in the midst of the storm. It's a picture of life. It's a picture of Christ in the midst of the storms of the lives of the believers of God. I want you to notice with me, firstly, in verse 35, the proclamation of his presence. At least five times over in these seven verses, we have the Lord speaking, or the very presence of the Lord coming before us. And the same day when the even was come, he saith. Verse 36, as he was in the ship. Verse 38, and he was in the hinder part of the ship. Verse 39, and he arose. Verse 39, and he said, Peace be still. Verse 40, and he said. And so we can see in the reading of these verses the proclamation from the very lips of Christ of his presence amongst the people of God as they're going to encounter the storm. But then secondly, I want you to notice with me in verse 38, the distraction of his people. Master, carest thou not that we perish? There they were, in the ship, going to the other side. And suddenly, without warning, the storm arose, and they began to fear. And sometimes we can be taken up with the crisis and not the Christ. Sometimes we can be taken up with the storm and not the Son of God. And we're going to learn a valuable lesson this afternoon concerning the distraction of his people. But then, verse 39 says this, And he arose and rebuked the wind. and said unto the sea, peace be still. And we want to say a little this afternoon about the exhibition of his power. And finally, in verse 41, they were heard to confess to one another and to all around, what manner of man is this? And we want to say a little about the appreciation of his person. For having come out through the storm onto the other side, their appreciation of Christ was greater than when they had first commenced the journey. And we can see from experience that when one has passed through the storm and has come out onto the other side, the appreciation of Christ is greater, is more blessed. We can understand in a measure the greatness of our God in bringing us through and taking us to the other side. And so it's a picture of life, is it not? We begin the journey, and our aim is to reach the other shore. Our brother Leonard said in his prayer this afternoon that one day we're going to see him, and that will take place on the other shore. Not only to see him, but to be like him. You know, the wonder of wonders that thrills my soul every time I read the Word of God is that we're going to see him. That would be something most special. That is something most wonderful, dear child of God, that we're going to see him. That would be enough, would it not be? But Scripture says we're going to be like him. And those favoured disciples who went into the boat that day, little did they understand all that would befall them in that voyage. The Sea of Galilee, historians will tell us, is 12.5 miles long and 7.5 miles wide. And they began the journey. Notice this, verse 35, and the same day. It had been a long day for the Lord. It begins in verse 1 of our chapter, it says, and he began again to teach by the seaside, and there was gathered unto him a great multitude, so that he entered into a ship and sat in the sea, and the whole multitude was by the sea on the land, and he taught them many things by parables. And thus the even was now come. And he saith unto them, now this is important, let us pass unto the other side. I don't know, perhaps you're like me, perhaps not, but when a storm arises in the life of the believer, and I speak from my own heart first and foremost, but when a storm arises, when a crisis comes in to the lives of the believers, of the people of God, I begin to wonder. I look back and I begin to ask myself, did God speak? Did I disobey the voice of God, and thus I am now thrust into the storm? The crisis has arrived because God said, do this, but I turned my back upon his word and I went my own way. You remember the word to Jonah, go to Nineveh and preach. But he turned and he went to Tarshish. He turned his back upon God. God spoke, God said, do this, but Jonah had in his heart other ideas, and thus he turned. We think of the storm that he entered into. So much so that it took him to be in the belly of the whale 3 days and three nights to understand this, that salvation was of the Lord. To understand this, that God, when he speaks to the believer, we do well to listen to his voice and we do well to be obedient to that same voice. And so we look and we say, where did we go wrong? God spoke, and I was disobedient to that voice, and thus he is now taking me through the crisis. He's taking me through the storm, that I might understand this, that in days to come, when God speaks, I listen. But no, that's not always the case. The disciples are going to go through the storm, and yet they were obedient to the Master's voice. The Lord speaks in verse 35, let us pass over onto the other side. And so they were being obedient. They were being obedient to the words of the Saviour. Ah, the Saviour had in mind to take his disciples through the storm, that they might understand that they might grow in grace, that their faith might become stronger. We have the parallel narrative of these verses in chapter 14, is it, of the book of Matthew. Again, they're going through the storm. This time he's not in the ship with them, literally. Where is he? He's upon the mountain, but his eye was upon them. How wonderful it is to know that when we're passing through the storms, the crisis, the problems that beset the people of God, that he's in the ship with us. Whether it be upon the mountain, his eye is upon us. Here, he was in the ship with them. And verse 36 tells us that, and when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. We read that in verse 1. And so he is in the ship. What a comfort. What a comfort to the people of God in the problems, in the difficulties, when the storm comes, when the crisis will arise in the heart of the individual, when sorrow visits the home and a loved one is taken, when perhaps we go to the doctor and we go to get the diagnosis of the illness revealed, and we go in with a fear of trepidation. We don't want to hear what he's got to say, but nevertheless we've got to hear it. How wonderful, dear child of God, he's in the ship. How wonderful to know that he is in control. Ah, but what I like about verse 36 is this, and I just seen this in the last week or two, and there were also with him other little ships. So they began the voyage. So they began to go from one shore to the next. They weren't alone. He was in the ship. But what I like about this is that there was fellowship with others. Others were there. Not literally in the ship beside the Lord Jesus Christ, but they were going over, and they too would encounter the storm. They would become part of this great event, the storm on the sea at Galilee. And yet, they too would land on the other shore. What do I read into this? You'll suffer preacher's license here. Simply this. The way I looked at it was that perhaps an individual in the assembly was passing through the storm. Others in the assembly were with them. Let's be practical this afternoon. Let's bring it home. The importance of this. A few years back, little Rebecca was born. She wasn't born in the best of health. She spent many months in hospital, as the assembly here know only full well. Leonard and Sarah were thrust into a storm, into a crisis. But there were those in the assembly in Kennaway who were going through that storm with them. And in the wider sphere, there were those in Hospital Hill and other assemblies who, though not going directly through the storm, indirectly, they were going through it with them. And there were also with him other little ships. You remember the words of Paul to the church at Corinth, when one member suffers, we all suffer. When one member sorrows, we all sorrow. When one member rejoices, we all rejoice. And so they were going through the storm, and they were in fellowship with them. And so the Eden had come. Picture the scene. When I read the Word of God, I tend to close my eyes when I've read a passage and really try to enter in to the situation. And I close my eyes and I thought of this great scene. It was Eden. The sun would be beginning to descend in the eastern sky. Doubtless it must have been a glorious day. A blue sky as they set off. A sea of tranquility. The Word of God says it was calm. Their harps mirrored the sea. There was no fear in their hearts. They had no doubt they were going to get to the other side. Why? Because he was in the ship. What had they to fear? And so they set sail. What could possibly go wrong? Christ was in the ship. Nothing would befall them. Christ was in the ship. And so they sailed. You've got a picture in your mind of the Sea of Galilee that day. And there arose. Suddenly, the blue sky had disappeared and grey was overhead. Suddenly, without warning, the Sea of Tranquility, Luke tells us, was raging. And suddenly, into the midst of the storm, they came. Without warning. Suddenly. Their lives had been turned upside down. Suddenly they began to fear. Suddenly their great faith was so small. And there arose. Is that not a picture of life? One day healthy. The next day struck down with illness. One moment everything is rosy in the garden, and the next moment suddenly turmoil in the lives of the believer. Some will know our brother and sister Jim and Annette Clydesdale. Their little boy Jamie was born like Rebecca. For the first year of his life he was in York Hill Sick Kids Hospital fighting every day for life. And then he got the all clear. And now he's 6 years of age. And life was going well. Hardly ever a visit back to the hospital. And a few weeks ago, 2 weeks ago perhaps, getting ready for school, his father went up the stair, found him paralysed. He has water on the brain. He's in a bad way. Suddenly, without warning, the crisis has come into the lives of believers there in Motherwell. Suddenly they're in the storm, without warning. Dear child of God, I often ask myself this question. How does an unbeliever go through life? When the storms come, what do they hold on to? He is in the ship. He was there for them, and we're going to notice that there arose a great storm of wind. We need the wind. Of course we do. The wind is there because it's given of God. You think of the wind in Scripture. You think in the book of the Song of Solomon. It speaks there concerning the north wind that doth blow. I think of that little detail that we got when we were at school. Don't remember much about school, but I remember this. The north wind will blow and we will have snow. I can't remember the rest of it, but I remember that bit. And the north wind comes and it blows. And with it comes affliction. Perhaps I'm speaking to someone today and the north wind is blowing. Remember this, he's in the ship. But then, Song of Solomon reminds us that the south wind comes. And that tells us of assurance. The warmth of the south wind. Again, you think of the words regarding the north wind. The psalmist would remind us that the north wind will blow and it driveth away the rain. What's the rain? The rain is refreshment. You see, the affliction comes in and the refreshment is blown away. And suddenly we're faced with the wind. And in the book of John, John would remind us, the wind bloweth where it listeth. And you see, dear child of God, perhaps everything in the garden is rosy. Perhaps your life has never been affected by affliction. Perhaps you've never been thrust into the storm or the crisis that has been the portion of others. But if our Lord be not come, you will. You will be thrust into a storm. Old age will come upon us if the Lord tarries. And with old age, all its problems and the crisis. But remember this, he was in the ship. He was in the hinder part of the ship. Listen to scripture, asleep on a pillow. But then again, scripture would remind us, the God of Israel neither sleeps nor slumbers. Whilst he was in sleep, forget this not that his eye was upon them. He was in control of the situation, even though he was asleep, humanly. And they awake him. They looked around. The ship was filling fast. The water was coming in. The ship, they thought, was going to sink. They thought they were going to perish. And let's face it, they were only human. And if we had been there, we would have done the same. For so often when the storms come and the crisis envelopes our lives, we cry to others, pray for me. And rightly so. But we tell others about the conditions and the problems and the anxiety and the fear that we have. But they done better. They took it to the Master. And listen to their words. They awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? Now it's remarkable that he looks on his own and he doesn't answer them. Not yet. He's going to perform his power in their very midst. Master, carest thou not? Were they in a sense rebuking the person of Christ? For after all, our Lord had said, to cast all our care upon him, for he carest for us. And yet they in turn now look upon the Saviour and say, Master, carest thou not that we perish? I think of the words of Spurgeon. He wrote these words, lovely words. He said, I shake, but my rock is sure. And they must have been shaking. They must have been trembling. They were watching as the water came in. They were watching as the ship they thought was going to sink. And they thought that the Saviour was never going to waken. And they thought that the Saviour didn't care and that they were going to perish. How is it that ye have not little faith, but no faith? Notice verse 39. The exhibition of his power. And he arose. Verse 37, and there arose, suddenly, the storm arose without warning. But just as suddenly as the storm arose, so did the calm, and he arose. In the midst of their trouble, in the midst of their strife, the Saviour rose. It is I. Be not afraid. And he arose and rebuked the wind of affliction, and said unto the sea, peace, be still. We go back to the book of the Psalms, and in Psalm 107, we read these words. He maketh, verse 29, he maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. He maketh. Only God can make that storm in your heart a calm, and the waves thereof are still. It could only be said of Jehovah in the Old Testament, these words, he maketh the storm a calm. And the Jehovah of the Old Testament is seen in the Jesus of Galilee in Mark chapter 4. He arose, he rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, peace, silence, be still. Listen to these words. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm, peace. Wonderful to know the peace of God. He says to his own, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. My peace. How wonderful to know that in the storms of life that will afflict the child of God, he pours in peace. Peace in the midst of the storm. My mind then started to work. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Peace in the midst of sorrow. You remember in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, the great problem with the Thessalonians was what had become of those who had died, who were now sleeping in Jesus. Paul says in that chapter, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep. You know, the world has a saying that ignorance is bliss. But when it comes to that regarding the scriptures, ignorance is dangerous. For they were ignorant of the fact that their loved ones, though they had died and died in Christ, they were now at home with Christ. The dead in Christ. Wonderful, that statement. The dead in Christ. Every relationship on earth is broken by death. But not that relationship. A relationship founded in Christ upon earth will be unbroken in death. And Paul says to those Thessalonian believers, the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with the Lord to be forever with the Lord. You say, where do you find peace in that very verse? Tell you this, he concludes with these words, wherefore comfort one another, peace. Wherefore comfort one another with these words. And so there is peace for the child of God, not only in the midst of the storm, but when the storm is raging, and with it is sorrow, which one of us has not known sorrow? Which one of us has not stood at the open grave? Which one of us has not broken our hearts in sorrow? And yet wonderful to know that he pours in a ministry of Christ. He says, comfort one another with these words. And there's peace. Peace in the midst of sorrow. 2 Timothy chapter 4, the last words of the Apostle Paul, as he writes to Timothy, his son in the faith. Paul is about to go out to meet his Creator. Paul is about to go out to meet his Maker. Paul is about to come face to face with the man who saved him on the Damascus Road. And there was peace for Paul in the midst of solitude. Listen to the words. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Demas have forsaken me. A man that walked in fellowship with Paul. But now, at the end, when Paul needed him most, he had forsaken him. One might be forgiven for thinking, Paul, that was only an individual. You had plenty of friends, plenty of believers to whom you could call upon in your hour of need, but then you read down, all men forsook me. Not now just Demas, but all men. Where were the men of God when Paul needed them in the hour of crisis? They had fled for whatever reason. They had fled. How beautiful is the language of Holy Scripture. Verse 17, I think it is, of that chapter. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood by me and strengthened me. Peace in the hour of solitude. When all around perhaps have fled, he says to his own, peace be still. What do I see in verse 39? Not only the fact that he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace be still. But listen, the wind ceased. And there was a calm. No, Scripture tells us there was a great calm. You see, when we're dealing with the things of God, everything is higher and grander and greater than man. There was a great calm. What transpired that day in the ship was simply this. Creation heard the voice of the Creator. And there was a great calm. And he said unto them, why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly. And said, verse 41, one to another, what manner of man is this? One gospel writer, he puts it this way, I think it's Luke, what manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea, as we got it here, obey his voice? You see, their appreciation of the person of the Lord Jesus Christ was greater. And every time you and I pass through the crisis, every time you and I are faced with the conflict, every time you and I pass through and we come out onto the other side, our appreciation of God and our appreciation of Christ is that much greater. In the book of the Psalms, in Psalm 73, you have the books of the Psalms concerning Asaph. And it begins and ends, most remarkably, truly God is good to Israel. But he concludes at the end of Psalm 82, the end of the books of the Psalms of Asaph, concerning the Jehovah, the Almighty One of Israel. What had happened in these intervening Psalms was simply this, that his appreciation of God was greater. And that will be our portion too, that having been brought through the storm, our appreciation of God Our appreciation of Christ will simply be that much greater. And so we trust this afternoon that as we've looked together at the storm in Mark chapter 4, and we've thought about the proclamation of his presence, that he is in the ship. Never forget that. Sometimes we do. We're only human. Sometimes when the storm comes, we're like the disciples in the ship. We're taken up with the storm that is around instead of setting our eyes upon the Saviour. But then to see the exhibition of his power comes into the lives of the believers today in Scotland and those passing through the storms. And if in days to come you too will pass through a storm, whatever it might be, he can say to you, peace, be still. And there is a great calm. And our appreciation of Christ is that much greater. I leave you with the words of a poem penned again by my younger brother. It's entitled, He Knows and Cares, and I think in a sense it fits in with that which we have spoken on this afternoon. This is what it says, and with this I close. In valley deep, on mountain high, oppressive cloud or dazzling sky, the anxious thought, the peaceful sigh, there's one who knows and cares. In tired faith or firm belief, in joyous song or lonely grief, the hope above, the storm beneath, there's one who knows and cares. For every problem far and near, for every trial and every tear, for every doubt and every fear, there's one who knows and cares. For every stress and every strain, for every joy and every pain, for every loss and every gain, there's one who knows and cares. For every sorrow, every care, for every sigh of deep despair, it's Mark 4. For every burden that we bear, there's one who knows and cares. For though we cannot understand what God hath willed, what God hath planned, we can but leave it in the hand of one who knows and cares. Shall we pray? Our God understands.